Good day, friends. We're glad to have the opportunity of coming into your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. Our current series deals with taking a look at your Bible. And of course, this is an important thing because we're aware of the fact that the gospel which is found in that Bible is the power of God unto salvation. Not alone is that true in Romans 1:16, but if you just continue to read on in Romans 1:17, you'll find that gospel makes known the righteousness of God to mortal man. We're going to be talking about the righteousness of God in one of the future broadcasts, so keep that Romans 1:17 in mind. Today we want to take another look at the life of Jesus. We've discussed his temptation, we discussed his baptism, we started out with his birth, and pointed out his mission to come to this earth was to turn the lights on spiritually for mortal man. And I trust as you listen to the broadcast today that you will realize that your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ that bring you this broadcast have a sincere desire that you may turn the lights on in your life spiritually. Now, when I say you turn the lights on in your life, there's something you can do. I was reading the other day from Acts, the 2nd chapter, where Peter preached that momentous sermon. And after he had told these people in Acts 2:38, in answer to their question, what must we do, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But then in verse 40, we have the crux of an outstanding point when he simply says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So there is something that you can do in turning the lights on in your life and obeying from your heart that glorious gospel. We want to talk about the message that Christ had while he was here upon this earth. Now, I'm aware of the fact that from historical account, it is considered that Jesus was about 30 years old when he was baptized. After his baptism, there was the temptation. And then in Matthew, the 4th chapter, in verse 17, that's a key passage in our broadcast today, we have these words. Matthew records them. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I am sure that there are many who listen to the broadcast today who have noted that this was the same theme that was offered by John the Baptist or John the Immerser in the 3rd chapter. As he came preaching the wilderness of Judea and telling people to repent for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, he was a literal forerunner for the coming of Jesus the Messiah. It was the same John who announced to his followers, maybe even to more than that, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So those who followed John, at least some of them, were also the followers of Jesus, for they followed him that day and abode with him for a period of time to find out truly that he was the Messiah. And then during the personal ministry of Jesus, we find him sending out the 12 apostles, first on a limited commission, later upon the great commission to go to the entire world. But in the 10th chapter of Matthew, you read of the limited commission, how they were to go to the lost sheep of Israel, not to the Gentiles or to the nations in general, but to the lost sheep of Israel, and their proclamation was the same. Repent, for that kingdom of heaven was at hand. The 35 couples, the 70 who were sent out on a limited commission as well, as disciples, announced, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is come nigh unto you. So as we've often said on radio broadcasts, that there were no less than 84 inspired individuals that we can read about, and there may have been more than that. But reading from the Bible, there are no less than 84 inspired individuals who went forth telling the story, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, Matthew in his writing deals especially with the validity of this kingdom. Someone told me not too long ago that no less than 32 times in Matthew's account of the gospel is to be found those things that are relative to the kingdom. Now, I haven't read every one of those, but when you read Matthew's account of the gospel, and I hope you will, you might kind of check that out. One lady said she'd found over 30, and of course the point that was made to me that there was no less than 32. Well, the point I'm trying to make is the great message that Christ had in mind was that that kingdom of heaven was at hand. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, when he was talking about building his church, he also said in the outstanding 19th verse, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. He also announced in Mark 9:1 that there be some of you standing here who will not taste of death until you have seen the kingdom come with power. Now, there are many things that Christ taught during his personal ministry. In fact, John says there are many things that we don't have, many deeds that he did that we don't have, but we have sufficient that we might believe that he truly is the Son of God, and by truly believing, we might have life through his name. Now, the message of Christ was a message of faith. Faith, of course, that kingdom would come. Faith that individuals would turn from their sin to serve God. So I believe that Christ, in this sense, had faith in men, knowing that there were those who would turn from their sin. But of course, whether any individual had ever obeyed the gospel or not, Jesus would have come with his proclamation. And I believe that must be the theme of the gospel today. We are to preach the gospel. Much like Jesus said to his apostles in Mark the 16th chapter and verse 15, to go into all the world. Now that was after the limited commission had taken place. Then we have a general commission, the great commission as people call it, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew has something to say about this too in the famous 28th chapter. After Jesus announced just before he's going to go back to heaven that full power in heaven and earth is given unto him. Then he goes on to say that he wanted them to teach all nations. He wanted them to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He wanted them to observe whatsoever things he had commanded them, and he promised to be with them. So what does the message of Christ, as we read during his personal life upon this earth, have to do with your life today? Well, the Holy Spirit brought the full gospel story to the apostles at Pentecost. If you want a good reference on this, keep in mind that in 2 Peter 1 and 3, we have one of the very apostles who was inspired of God saying that his divine power, which I would understand to be the Holy Spirit, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now that means that we have everything in the gospel that we'll ever need to live a godly life. The apostle Peter made that statement, wrote it to brethren in 2 Peter 1 and 3. Jude also, in the third verse of his one chapter, offered a marvelous teaching when he spoke of the gospel as the faith, and he said it was once delivered unto the saints. The Christians were to earnestly contend for this faith that had been once delivered unto the saints. Now, when that gospel story came, it was good news of the kingdom. I am sure that if you've taken time out in your busy life to read what happened on that day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and they began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance, that you'll find Peter preached a notable sermon beginning in the outstanding 14th verse of that second chapter of Acts. How that he stood up with the 11 apostles, and how that he announced that the apostles were not drunken, as some had supposed, seeing it was but the third hour or 9 o'clock in the morning. He goes on to say that the thing that had happened was the pouring out of the Spirit upon mortal man upon this earth, as Joel had prophesied as one of the minor prophets many years before Christ came to this earth. But the main theme in that message was the good news of the kingdom. He spoke of David, who was of the tribe of Judah, and he spoke of Jesus sitting upon that throne. And then as he brought his sermon to a climax in verse 36, he said, "The same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ." Now, one being made Lord and Christ indicates that he became a king, that he was an anointed ruler. I believe this took place when Christ went back to heaven. The reason for that is found in many places, but the second chapter of Philippians is one that will certainly bear the tale in a manner that everyone can understand it. That's the part of the chapter in the second chapter of Philippians that says that Christ made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then after his death, God took over. It says, "God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." That's a king, that's a ruler. "That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, Christ never was really anointed or crowned as a king, until after he had completed his mission here upon this earth. He had died upon the cross that the way might be possible for men to come in contact spiritually with his blood and to be cleansed from all sin. Paul spoke of this in Ephesians 1 and 7, when he simply said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." But the crux of this whole thing, showing how the message of Christ did bear fruit in the hearts of the alien sinner. Paul reminded the Colossians in Colossians 1 and 13 that they had been delivered from the power of darkness or of sin, and they had been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, the indication is great in the Scripture that if Jesus Christ was crowned a King of Kings and Lord of Lords when he returned to heaven, and if he was to be recognized by Christians as Lord, then this would indicate that he was a king. It would also indicate that he has a kingdom. And people who were delivered from sin were translated into that kingdom. The kingdom will continue on until it is time for Jesus to come again. Because in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it mentions that when the time that he's going to come becomes reality, he will have delivered up the kingdom to the Father. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. So the message that Christ offered is a message of salvation. We trust that you will hear the gospel, believe it, and obey it. And I want to remind you while we're talking to you at the close of this broadcast that your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast today. They want to be your friend. They want to offer the teaching, and as you obey it, that your sins might be forgiven. Consult them today. Attend the services of the congregation, and may God bless you as you obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth.